Turn with me to Ezekiel 33 for another short thought lesson on the subject. David Ramsey, how many of you listen to David Ramsey in the afternoons on handling money, managing money? How about it? I recommend it if it works for you to listen to his advice and wisdom. And obviously, because the program is so popular, there are a lot of us that really need some advice or help when it comes to our finances. I'm not an expert on that. I don't pretend to be. I don't have the kind of wisdom and knowledge that he has. I'm not an advisor for finances in one sense. But I do realize and recognize that behind our money is something spiritual that's most important to us. And that we see here, and we'll draw a short picture, a little diagram on it. This is 33:31. They come unto thee as a people comes, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goes after their covetousness. And if we took time and pulled that verse apart a little bit, it goes like this. Here's my heart. And if I go after, the word is covetousness, my desires for things, and we know what that is, because we desire pleasure, power, money. There's different lust patterns that we have in our hearts. Because of losing God, it's so easy to look for, find our comfort, our advantage by way of things. Because money is a great tool, and money is connected with power, and power is also something that people desire. But this is our point. The Holy Spirit makes a comparison to their empty words of love. They cannot. In other words, the heart does not love, because the heart is after something else. Christ used this in Matthew 6. Turn there with me, please. Verse 24. No man can serve two masters. How do we handle or look at our material things? Well, I don't know. I want to park here for a second. I don't know if you got this little diagram. It's simple. Because of covetousness, then I will say, I love you, but I don't. Because there's something else occupied within my heart that's strong. Something else that I am after, something that is consuming me, or the way I think of it is covetousness is in the New Testament linked with idolatry. In idolatry, I think of it like this. Here is the the thing, we can call it money. With a believer, he kind of touches the surface of it and he goes on. But when it's an idol, I go into the middle of it and I park there. It's mine. It's mine. It's important to me. This is my life. This is what I want. This is my desire. This is my soul, my flesh, my heart. This is what I want. This is me. It's my identity. If a man had $1 million, there would be two ways that he could look at the $1 million. Like, that's amazing. I would have $1 million. It would be incredible. But the very, very possibly, it would become something I would have. I would have it. I would be thinking about it. I would be checking it. I'd be guarding it. I'd be protecting it. I may be investing it. It's like something that easily could become my life. So the wise man in Proverbs 30 says, Lord, don't make me so rich that I would forget you, and don't make me so poor that I would steal my neighbor's bread. But give me just what I need, or give me food that is convenient for me, that I might live my life. So actually, even as much as money is a great tool, it can also be very devastating. So let's put here, it is a tool. And for the spirit-filled believer to have his blessings and benefits and advantages and have it under the control of the Holy Spirit with a heart that says love, and he actually does it. Ezekiel 33:31. He does not do it. He says, I love. And he says to Ezekiel, very good message, very good message, but it doesn't change me. It doesn't touch me. It doesn't affect me, because I have something else that's going on in my life. I have something else that is my occupation, my life, and so on. I believe many of us, we are blessed people because our temptations are not that strong in some ways. Another point, I believe we are blessed because we have found another way that is very satisfying for us. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. Okay, turn now to, you're at Matthew 6. And we will read these verses here. Verse 24. No man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon, the material world. Christ being a good example of being so wealthy, but not really having his hands on the purse. Who had the pocketbook with the group? Judas had the pocketbook, but Jesus he could feed a multitude of people because his Father gave him the wealth. He was able to do a miracle, and that was the wealth. Christ paying the temple tax got the coin. Peter got the coin out of the fish's mouth. That's wealth. Christ had access to wealth, that he had the Father providing and leading him and hitting the target in the ministry of helping people. Luke 12:15, beware of covetousness, because it kind of gets a hold of us, and it can govern our life. A whole world can be orientated to the material. Okay, go to the verse 25, please. Is it? Yeah, verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Now we're touching something that is not that kind of so American. Isn't that amazing? What? Take no thought? Okay, nice saying. But come on. You know, I have a lot of thought about my life. I have a lot of care about my life and my children, my family, my house, my things, my business. We are an amazing people. We are. And an unusual. I've somehow, in the history of man, we are a very hardworking nation. We work hard, we do a lot, and we also are very generous and giving. And that is another kind of wealth. The mentality, it says, the abundant eye is blessed. When you walk into a room and you're able to see and you have an abundant eye, you're looking at how you can bring a blessing or what an abundant eye means. It's beautiful. Is it 16:9? I'm not sure of the verse, Proverbs. There is a wealth that comes from your spiritual life by looking not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are not seen. What God is saying by His Spirit has made many of us wealthy through the years. Coming to the church and hearing the Spirit speak to me has made me wealthy. My eye is abundant. I believe that things can happen, that God is not stuck. He neither slumbers nor sleeps. When we are hearing from God, He's edifying and building us up in love. And this is the core, that beautiful world of immaterial wealth, love and joy and peace. But in our diagram, when in my heart I go into this thing, and it's got me. It'd be better my house, I just kind of touched my house and I roll along. I'm rolling along and my house is a tool. But I don't really own it. I own it, but actually it's just there for me for a period of time. And one day I will be leaving it anyway. And it's only for a period. And same with all of our material things. We need to see them the right way. This is what Jesus is talking about here. Like Jesus is talking about something that we get stuck and we get in trouble in our heart because it's easy to put too much value on the things of this world that do produce great blessings. Money is a great tool in life, no question. But he also said, be careful of this. Be careful of it. You know, many of us have been in different parts of the world, and the culture is very different from ours because you go into their house and it's the same furniture from, honestly, from 50 years ago. And even longer, I go into this house, I think it's, you know, it's like World War II style, you know, like the stool and the table. And then the paint on the wall, they don't paint. There isn't any. And then the clothes people wear, they have the same clothes. And this is normal for them. It isn't normal for us because maybe we enjoy, and there's nothing wrong with it. But I'm just saying maybe we could put too much value on things that God is saying to us in our hearts. The reason why you have so much value on these things is because there's actually an emptiness here. There's an emptiness of some kind, and I'd like you to deal with that. Like the church at Laodicea, he said, you are rich and you have all of this, but you are miserable. You are poor. You are naked. Really? So there you go. That's a short lesson on it. Go back to the verse, please. It says, why, it said, don't think about what you will eat or what you drink or your body and what you shall put on. Now, these are radical statements. Everybody is thinking about these things. But somehow Jesus is radically challenging us as Americans. Because thinking ahead and planning and making sure we have what we need, of course, that's like how we live, and there's wisdom in that. Consider the ant, we taught last week. But here is something else about it. And I believe it isn't the absence of these things. It's just my relationship with them. That's the point. We need the water, the food, the clothes. But how do I digest it? And to be honest, much of the program by David Ramsey is about us overspending. We're overspending. We are maybe get a little depressed or discouraged, and so I run out and buy something. You know, I got my heart or my mind on a piece of clothing or furniture, whatever it might be, or even a car. And I just do that because, you know, that's what I want. And I think Jesus is here saying, wait a minute. Before you say, I want to challenge you. You have something, and I'm going to tell you, your life does not consist in getting what you want. I want to suggest to you there's something better that you really need, and what you really want is on a spiritual level, and it's God and His righteousness. Read it with me, please. It says, verse 28, why take you thought for raiment? I will answer that. Because, Lord, it's the latest style. It's so cool. I know if I wear that, I will feel good about it. There's nothing wrong with that, is there, Lord? And the Lord said, no. But if you find yourself overspending, or you're doing something you can't really afford it, or you're like moving as a habit, and that's how you address your inner, your yearnings and longings and desires, I'm going to suggest something to you and tell you straight out. And it's this word, deny yourself. Lord, we don't have that in our vocabulary, in our household. You know, help me. Tell me, Jesus. Tell me. Talk to me. He goes, I tell you, you can do it. You can deny yourself. You can manage your life. You can actually make your way. You can actually find. You can. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit will lead you and show you, and the Holy Spirit will help you so that you will realize that if I can deny myself, and I don't mean only in a material sense, but in a deeper sense, that I would be able to say to God in my heart, I need you and you only. Psalm 73 and verse 24. I believe that. Listen, I have two Spurgeon quotes. This is something he said in a sermon. The devil once met a Christian man, so I have heard. And the devil said to him, you call yourself a servant of God? What do you do more than I do? You boast you fast. You boast that you fast. So do I, the devil said. So do I. But of course, he's a demon, right? He doesn't eat food anyway. You know. He said, for neither I eat or drink. You do not commit adultery, he says to the Christian. And the devil said, neither do I. Well, of course, he's a demon spirit, right? The fiend mentioned a long list of sins of which he is incapable, from which he could therefore claim, I do not do them. The saint at last said to him, I do one thing which you never did. I deny myself. That is the point in which the Christian comes out. He denies himself for Christ's sake. Demons cannot deny themselves. They are evil. They don't have any option. They are under the control of the evil. But a Christian has two natures. I have old nature, and I have my new one. And I can say to my old one, not going to happen. I can make a decision in faith and live by faith and find myself free by the Holy Spirit. We can walk in the Holy Spirit and say no to our sin nature because we have been crucified with him. We have a new life now, a new way. Awesome. Read Matthew 6, 29. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? I have to be honest because I'm kind of skeptical and realistic in life generally. I don't mind that, but I think about this. Really, Jesus, there is a field of grass and it's beautiful, or the forest or the Alps and it's beautiful, and God the Father has done this, but God has also given me my eyes, my ears, the hormones in my body. He has clothed us. He has given us life. He has given us a mind and a heart. It's amazing. God, thank you. How much he will not also take care of us? Won't he take care of us? So he's saying, like, don't be as serious about these things as some people are, because they are consumed and distracted and deceived by these things. But God is able to give us wealth. I believe that. That God is able to give me. But it may not be the wealth of a lot. I don't want that. It may not be that. I mean, it may be a wealth of an amazing sense of fullness in life, wealth of an abundant eye, the wealth of a giving heart, the wealth of a happy attitude, the wealth of like Joseph finding an answer and knowing what to do and looking at it that way. Okay. Go to 30 then, please. It says, wherefore God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? O ye of little faith, yeah. Verse 31, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Well, here's a good application. My husband has a calling. I am married to him. I am nervous or worried about our future. When I lived in Hungary, I visited a home, and they were a beautiful couple. And downstairs, the woman had all this food down in the cellar, and she was nervous and worried. The husband shared occupation with this food cellar with food in it. And he said, because in the war, she was a little girl and they were starving. And she's now an older woman, and she has this this wound in her soul, and she just lives worried about someday starving and not having what we need. So she makes sure, you know, and we can imagine people like that in different ways. Maybe my childhood. Maybe, you know, what happened to me when I was shot, and that's the spring-loaded, you know, direction that I live in my heart. Well, Christ is saying, don't. I believe that the message here, he's saying, the Holy Spirit and him filling you and satisfying you, and you are able to live a life without the fear. Look at verse 31, take no thought. Verse 32, the world is seeking for these things, the food, the clothing, the harbors, the merchant travel, all of the wealth that is going on, and the transportation, everything, the security of you know, the institutions of the nation, everything happening to guarantee and secure our future as a nation. But he said, your heavenly Father knows that you have need. Verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That means maybe at work, if I could tell a little bit of a lie, I might get a benefit. Well, the benefit may be too much of a thing for me. I rather, like, I get the benefit, but I got to move along on the line of loving righteousness. I cannot lie. I cannot cheat. I cannot steal. That's not the way for me. Our Heavenly Father knows what we need, and he can help and lead us. But let us be satisfied along these lines. And along those lines is also the whole idea of having the authority in my soul to say, I love that thing, but it cannot be my God. I love that woman. That woman is my wife. That woman is a gift to me. That woman is precious to me, but she is not my God. My little children, I love them. They are beautiful. They are a gift to me. Thank you, God. I cannot pull my heart away. I love them so much. I love them so much. I'm so much attached to them. I cannot imagine, but I am able to say to God, they are yours. And thank you for every day I have them. And I will take care of them as much as I possibly can, but they are not my God. And my future and what I want in my life materially, that is not my God. No, I cannot. That is not set up to be my God. No. Be careful with this. Because it doesn't matter who you are, where we are at in our life, I gravitate to idolatry. I do. I make idols about this comfortable life that we have. And I love it. I love it just like anybody. I love the comfort. I love to go to the refrigerator and open it up, and there it is, a selection. That's amazing. I love to be able to get in a car and go for a ride. That's an amazing gift. That's an amazing gift. But I have been in parts of the world where they don't have that. And you know what? It doesn't seem like they miss it because they never had it. And if you talk about this verse, these verses to them, it resonates with them. They understand it because that's all they got. That's all they got. And I think maybe we and our world, like of this, you know, we have a big thing in it. But be careful, it can fail. Be careful, it can let you down. Even when you get it, you might say, what price did I pay to get this? And what did I lose on the road? I might have lost my family. I might have lost my integrity. I might have lost my character. I might have lost my whole confidence, my days and my life. I might have lost something because I set my heart on it too much. But I think if you are born again, and you are, then you are able to take what we're saying today and say, amen. I believe that. I believe Jesus is greater than all the things that are here in this world, and he can satisfy me. And I believe that to be able to say, I deny myself something, is a good thing for me. We're not going to be just lapping it up, anything that comes down the road, any good deal, anybody selling any great thing. We're lapping it up, everything coming in on the TV, everything people are saying, everything that the world is saying, what they're doing. We're just eating it up like, sorry to say it, but in the Old Testament, they were called pigs. They were unclean animals. Because they would eat anything. Dead bodies, garbage, anything. They eat anything. And I'm not saying we're that way, but I am saying our sin nature gets it all wrong. They don't know what's holy. Our sin nature doesn't know the value of holiness, the value of truth. The value of denying myself, my life. The value of being spirit-filled. The value of being serious with God. The value of being serious with God and saying, no, Lord, I don't want that thing. I don't want that thing. I'm not taking that thing. I don't care about that. That's not going to give me happiness. That's not the answer for my life. I'm not taking that stuff. I found a better way, the highway of holiness. That highway of a holy God is going to help me with my finances and help me manage. And I know many folks here work very hard and do the best you can. And if you can save $300, that's a big deal. I got $700 that I've saved and took me a long time. That's a life for a lot of people. And that's a precious thing. And that's $700 more than a lot of people have. It's just you got to figure out how you want to figure out how you want to think about your things. And we just need help. And I don't have one way. I don't have those answers, but I got something to say about it. And that is, I believe for all of us, not saying it about me, but all of us, I'm saying that if the Holy Spirit will fill us, and if we can hear what God is saying to us from this book, and if we can be loving each other and caring for each other, then probably we're going to have a pretty good way of hitting the most important target, and that is making Christ important in our lives and seeking first that kingdom that is here on the earth. And he'll deliver us from this and that, and we'll just say, wow, look at that. That's amazing. I can't believe that happened. And then the wealth that comes is the generosity of not being the tail, but being the head. The generosity of being able to give even space in my life. Let me finish. What's hospitality? What does that word hospitality mean? Hospitality. I like this definition. You are welcome into my space. I'm out on the sidewalk and I can be hospitable. You're welcome into my space. Isn't that good? I'm in a cafe. I'm hospitable. You're welcome into my space. Right now, I can be hospitable because you're welcome. Maybe I, when I'm studying, I can't be. I am in my heart, of course, but you get the idea. There's a wealth in that. There's a wealth in the spirit. There's a wealth in love. There's a wealth, and there's opportunities that come because of love and because of faith. That's how maybe life rolls. And we end up saying, well, I don't know why, but it seems like I'm being successful in things because love is like leading or love is reigning and in my heart. I'm not getting shut down. God is opening doors and making way. And we find ourselves blessed in many ways. He said it here in verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, meaning don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Okay. There was one other thing I had in my mind, but I forgot it. Maybe it'll come back to me. Okay. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Just as there are so many different people in this room, everyone is different. So our lives are unique. Every life in this room is different from every other life. There's one thing all of us have in common. God is our Father. We have been born again. You see, when you're born the first time, you come into this world materially, physically, and you are spiritually dead because of sin that is passed on to us from Adam and Eve and imputed to us legally by God and then practiced in our personal lives as children. We are sinners. We must be born again. And when you hear the gospel, the fact that God loved you so much, he sent Christ into the world that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Hearing those words, you say, yes, I believe. I believe in him. I want to believe in him. He was raised from the dead. I want to believe that. I am opening my heart to God. I'm coming to God. I can even say, Lord, help my unbelief. I believe, but help my unbelief. Just trust in him, and he saves you. And then being born again, now you have another option. You are able to live now by faith and experience the reality of God personally in your heart. Walk from faith to faith, be spirit-filled, and walk with God and know God personally. And if you say this morning to Jesus, I believe in you, I trust in you, forgive me, I thank you for saving me, I accept you and I believe in you as my Savior, then you are born again, spiritually alive to God. And walk out of here today talking to God as your Father. And go to bed tonight talking to God as your Father. And wake up in the morning and talk to God as your Father. And God will answer your prayer. God is a present help in every time of need. Yes, God is a real loving Father. God is your Savior, Christ. He's your answer for your life. Say to Jesus in your heart, I believe in you. Then raise your hand here in the auditorium. Anyone at all? Yes, raise your hand. Say yes to Jesus. Anyone? Okay, there's a hand over here. Thank you. Anyone else? Raise your hand. Anybody? It's a very real thing. Maybe Phil Kaplan, would you mind just standing for a second? Everybody look over to Phil. You know that he was saved. When did you get saved, Phil? July 31st, 2016. Isn't that amazing? Thank you. I mean, this is amazing. Just sitting in this room and saying yes to you, and a year and a half ago. Was your family Orthodox? Oh, yeah, they were atheists. Okay, Jewish family, atheists. Great guy there, born again, saved. A real thing. A real thing. I mean, a real thing that happens. Hallelujah. Thank you, Phil. A very real thing. So that's for you who raised your hand. Who raised your hand over here? No? Okay. Anyone? God bless you. All right. Amen. Would you, Pastor Steve's going to do the benediction. Would you stand, please? Oh, I know what I wanted to do. Yeah. Okay, you may stand, and then I want the pastors to come down front here just for a few moments and give you an opportunity. If you want to come down for prayer, come down for a blessing, come on down and talk to these men and just say, would you pray for me? Would you pray for me? I need a blessing. I need God to hear your prayer and heal me or bless me. I need help financially. I need help with a house, a job, any number of things. Emotionally, maybe. I need something. And we heard a message this morning. But maybe you need a touch, a prayer, personal prayer. So just come on down front right now, please. Just take a minute. Come on down. Some folks, this is just part of our service. It blesses people. Where God answers prayer for people. Amen? Yes, Lord. Come on. Come on down, folks. There's some folks. Come on this way. Come on down. Great. 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 There we go. Come on. There we go. Come on down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. How many of you felt the message spoke to your heart? Did it speak to your heart? Okay. Yes, Lord, thank you for that. Like, speak to our hearts and bless in Baltimore City. I got a good question. You know how Baltimore City has this problem with murder? You know, that's a problem in this city, right? Do you believe that God could change it? Okay, I know that's the right answer. That's the right answer, and I know you mean it in your heart. But I want you to think about it in your heart and decide in your heart, is that true? Could God change it? I am serious about it. Yes, Lord, I don't know how you're going to do it, but you're going to change things. And we need these young men to get saved and born again. They get shot and killed on the street, and it's wrong. It's wrong. It's not God. It's the devil. It's wrong. And we want things to change. We want the drugs to dry up. We want the guns to stop doing that whole thing. We want things to change. And we've got power with God. I mean, I'm just talking in my heart. Father, we pray for that. We pray for that. Change the city. Change the city. We are here in Jesus' name. We are your people, and many of your people in this city are praying that prayer. And we are praying for that, for safety on the streets, for changes to happen, Father. And we rebuke the devil. We need redemption, not death. We need grace and love and resurrection, not murder. We ask for freedom, not corruption. We ask for liberty, power, blessing, churches, young people, Sunday schools, new life, freedom, not death, ignorance, blindness, fear, oppression, hatred. No. Save them, Lord. Please change things, God. May this be the prayer in our hearts, Lord. The prayer of our hearts, God. We pray. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.